I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13. And then I want you to, I'm going to be moving around a lot tonight in the Bible. I've got several places I want to go. And I'm just going to preach the word tonight on a subject that probably it needs to be preached on more than what it is. In fact, I know for a fact it needs to be preached on more than what it is in America. America has gone from a decent nation with decent public morality, decent private morality. We've gone from a decent nation to an indecent nation. There are things that people wear out in public now that 30 or 40 years ago they would have been arrested for public indecency. That's the sad shape of it. And it's commonplace. It's everywhere. It's not just in Malibu. It's not just in Florida. Not just in Miami. It's all over the place. Indecency in dress. Indecency in actions and activities and thoughts. Indecency in the way people talk and what they talk about and how they talk. Indecency, people say, well, you know, that's adults. Adults can do this, adults can do that. That has spilled down on our children. And our children are being earlier and earlier and earlier in life indoctrinated into some very, very sick, sleazy things. When you see girls 6, 7, 8 years old who are acting like Katy Perry and some of these others, Britney Spears and whatever, when you see these young girls acting in that manner, it just kind of lets you know that the devil is on the road to stealing childhood innocence out of this nation. My goodness, if he will invade the womb of a woman and destroy the innocence and the perfection of an unborn child, he will not stop there. He will go after children at a younger and a younger age. When you go back and examine Sodom and the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 18, chapter 19, when you look at that, those that came to the doorway of Lot were the Sodomites of the land, both old and young. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've bought into the lie that it's okay to have a sodomite for a high school teacher or a grade school teacher, male or female, and that it's okay and they're not after your children, you're nuts.
Amen.
You're crazy.
Amen.
You've bought into the liberalism that they're trying to sell to everybody, that they're just normal people and everything's fine. But it's not. It's not fine. It's not okay. And it's covered up, but it's there. We live in a very indecent, immoral, nasty, vulgar, adulterous generation. It's what we live in. And I'm going to preach the word tonight. I'm going to just kind of go through scripture. You're there in Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to look at verse 4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all. And it doesn't take much, it doesn't take long for you to read the Bible, for you to see and understand that God puts marriage, and when I say marriage, I'm going to say it the way God said it, a man and his wife. That is marriage. In God's eyes, there is no such thing as a sodomite marriage. That is not marriage. That is reprobate, abomination. And I want to tell you something. They intended to do this. There's a case going on right now. A judge is allowing a man who is in a sodomite marriage relationship with another man. That judge has allowed this man to marry another woman, so that now he has a male partner and a female partner in his marriage. Okay? If we didn't think that that was the goal, I'm telling you, there will be no barriers and no limitations when it comes to the lust of the people of this country. There would be no limitations to it whatsoever. Okay? That's where we're living right now. We're living in Sodom right now. God will either do what he did to Sodom, or he'll raise them back from the dead and hand them a letter of apology. Because I think we're getting worse than Sodom. So he said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's the scripture. That's what it says. Let me go back to, I said Ezekiel 16, and I don't know that God's leading me in that direction. I do want to do this. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I'll just tell you, Ezekiel chapter 16 is about God's judgment upon Jerusalem. Basically, God raised them up. God took Jerusalem. He's speaking to her as if she was a woman, and she is. Jerusalem represented his bride of the Old Testament. And God took Jerusalem and took her and cleaned her up, nourished her, began to adorn her, beautify her, made her look beautiful. What Jerusalem did with that beauty that God gave her was go out and harlot herself to everybody, every man that walked by. She played the harlot to all the nations around her. And if you look at the history of Israel, that's exactly what they did. And I want you to keep something in mind tonight while I'm teaching this. We're not just, and I don't believe the Bible is just limiting itself to a physical situation of what men or women can do. I think the Bible, and it's very clear to me, when you look at Revelation 17, you have a woman who's arrayed in scarlet color, and she's a drunk woman. She's got a wine glass in her hand, and what's it full of? Fornication of her filthiness. And her name is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There is physical adultery, physical uncleanness, and spiritual uncleanness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I've espoused you to one husband. In other words, I brought you together as God's people, as the church, and I have brought you into an espoused relationship, which was a marital contract. And that marital contract was as binding, even though the marriage had not been consummated yet, that marital contract was still binding. When Joseph was espoused to Mary, and he found out she was with child, his first inclination was to put her away. He was going to write her a bill of divorcement. Even though they had not legally or not physically come together, he was going to divorce her because here she is, has this child. And the Lord sent an angel and said, no, Joseph, that's the Holy Ghost. That's your wife. Keep her. And then after that, she's all yours. Okay, so that's what he did. He honored the Lord, and that's what he did. But Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. And Paul knew that his responsibility was to present to Christ a chaste bride, a virgin bride, a woman who had been held back for one man and one man only. That was his role, that was his job, that is still our responsibility today, is to present a pure bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Purity in doctrine, purity in belief, purity, all kinds of purity. And I'm not prepared to just preach on all the different purities in the Bible, but a pure bride, not defiled. Watch this now. Another husband in a spiritual marriage between the church and Christ Another man coming into that situation would represent false doctrines that we have included in to our belief system. And that's exactly what Israel did on a spiritual level. They were espoused to God, and they were to only accept God's law and God's rule. Does everybody follow that so far? What they had done was they started accepting other doctrines and other religious ideas and bringing that into the scene. It exists to this day. When you see those Jews bowing and doing this before that wailing wall in Jerusalem, I wouldn't begin to tell you what that represents. But they have brought in doctrines and other gods into their belief system, and God to this day, they are a whore in God's sight. They committed adultery, and you know what God did? Wrote them a bill of divorcement and said, "You're out. I'm done with you." Why? They believed things that were not part of what God said. Okay? Likewise, when churches or Christians or denominations or whatever it is, when they walk away from the husband, and they step out of the husband's rule over them, and they go out into the world and they say, "Oh wow, look at what they're doing over there. Oh, look what this group over here is doing this. It's done by way of preaching." I tell you what, I don't know that I will sit and listen to another sermon where some guy's quoting everybody else but Peter, James, and Paul, and Isaiah. Oh, now Nelson Rockefeller said this, and Mahatma Gandhi said this, and you know what that is? That's adultery. That's bringing some other man into the scene to be part of who you are. And that's spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery. So you kind of understand where I'm going with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 6:14. "God who hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" This church does not belong to me. Does not belong to the people of this church, although we make up this body. This church is part of the overall body of Christ. Amen. He's the one that sets the rules, and he's the one that says this is how it's going to be. And so he said, look at what he said. He said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." Paul was dead serious on this issue. We're not, number one, we're not, and you know how Paul had to deal with, especially in Corinthians, you know how Paul had to deal with issues of fornication and adultery in the church, and they were allowing it to go on. And then the Apostle Paul went to that spiritual level, and he said, "Don't accept the Jewish fables. Don't accept the vain traditions. Don't accept the other gospels. Don't allow them in. Don't give their preachers place. Don't listen to them. Don't have anything to do with that. Because God is still a jealous husband." He's a loving husband, but he's a jealous husband. And the first commandment, still, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You cannot stay married to Christ and have all these other false gods coming in and out with their false doctrines and their false gospels, and you trying to fuse that together. That's like asking your husband and your wife, "Hey, can we bring some other people in on this?" That's wicked. It's wicked down here, and it's wicked up there. So he said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then make the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two," saith he, "shall be one flesh." And Paul was serious about this. You want to run off with something else? Go off with them. But you're one with them. And you cannot be one with Christ now. Because he's not sharing. Can you get an amen out of God's people? He's not sharing. He's still a jealous God. He will not have any other gods taking his place in your life. He won't do it. And it's always, you know, as I'm preaching or Brady's preaching or something like that, the best that I can hope for is that from the preacher on down to the congregation, we will always take an honest look at our lives and say, what does God think about this? What does God think about how I conduct my business? What does God think about how I conduct my personal life? What does God think about what I'm doing or what I think I can do or this and that and the other? What does God, what does the Bible think about it? I mean, you just, you know, some things are just common sense. You're a husband and there's some woman at work that, I don't know, you're just kind of being buddies with and friends with. You have to ask yourself, how much of this is my wife going to let me get away with? Because I guarantee you, she is going to be jealous, and there's a reason why. Amen. Likewise, men and women. What has happened in America since women started going massively into the workforce? Okay? And you guys know me. Sometimes it has to happen. It's a hard world to live in right now. Okay? It costs a lot of money. Very few people can find a way to live on a very small income. So I'm not blasting anybody. I'm not beating you over the head with anything. But I'm telling you, men's wives in a workplace with other men, I guarantee you some man is looking at that woman. I guarantee you he is. Okay? Shoot. I remember being out in construction sites and a woman would show up. The work stops right then. Nothing gets done because there's a woman on the job site. Okay? And that's just how it is. Married or not, that's just how it is. So anyway, he said, what know you not that he that which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two saith he shall be one flesh. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And he's telling you it's either one or the other. You cannot have it. No man can serve two masters. No church can lay in two beds. Cannot happen. God will not allow it to happen. So he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Number one, glorify you personally. Glorify God in your body. That's that personal level. Number two, we ought to glorify God in this body right here. In everything that we do, and in everything that we say, everything that we practice, everything that we believe, everything that we stand on, I believe that it is our responsibility to glorify God in this body. Can I hear you say amen? Then he said, glorify him in your spirit, and I promise you. See, the spirit is always going to be at war against the flesh. That's good, because if the spirit gives up and stops fighting the flesh, it's not because the flesh gave up first. The spirit follows. What do you think happens to a person who grows up in church all their life, hearing the Ten Commandments, hearing sermons preached on this stuff, hearing that, you know, marriage and against fornication, all this stuff? What do you think happens with people? At a sudden point, all of a sudden now they're free. Oh, I'm free now. I'm not ever going to. Who was it? Oprah Winfrey has made the statement she will never put a ring on her finger. She's been living with this man, I don't know how long, and they asked her, will you ever get married? No, it's not going to happen. George Clooney, they asked him, you ever going to get married? No. You know what he's going to do? He's going to hop from this bed to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. You know what? In his mind, he's free. He's going to be in hell. Amen. Because God will not, he said, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And that whole Hollywood, Nashville, Tennessee, Los Angeles recording industry crowd has influenced this whole generation of Americans, I'd say from probably about the 1950s on, into an acceptance of a lifestyle that God over and over said, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. It doesn't take you long to, when you start listening, even when we start listening to oldies, songs we grew up on, you grow up a little bit and you go back and you're listening to it and you're going, oh. See, they kind of hid it back then, didn't they? Kind of hid the language of it back then. Don't listen to rap. Oh my goodness. They don't hide anything. Don't listen to them. In Acts chapter 15, the issue came up that the council came together because they weren't sure. There was some disagreement. See, even God's people have disagreements every now and then. They don't see it eye to eye. And so they had a disagreement about, should the Gentiles be circumcised? Should they keep the law? And then they got together and they finally admitted, why should we make them keep the law? We haven't been keeping the law. We've never kept the law. So why should we make the Gentiles keep the law when we have not ever kept the law? So they said, we're saying now, we believe that the Holy Ghost is establishing this doctrine, that we believe that a man is justified not by the works of the law, but by the grace of God. Even the Gentiles, should they be circumcised? No. It's not going to benefit them. It's not going to take away. It's not going to add to. But they laid down four guidelines for the Gentiles. And here's what they said. Acts chapter 15 verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles have turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, number one, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Now, I've been studying this for the last year or so, and I think there is a very interesting prophetic ideology behind this. I can't really put it together, so I'm just kind of holding on to it. But why these four particular things? Three of them had to do with what kind of food they ate, whether or not it was sacrificed to an idol, or it had been strangled, or it had blood in it. And I still don't think you ought to eat blood. Amen. Don't eat blood sausage. Amen. Okay? I don't think you ought to do that. But this fourth deal here had nothing to do with what they was eating. Had everything to do with the issue of fornication and uncleanness and adultery.
That's right.
He said, and I think one of the biggest reasons is that whole idea that whether they were Jews or Gentiles, they were still to be counted as the virgin bride of Jesus Christ. And these men knew, probably being led by the Holy Spirit, that what was prohibited down here as far as adultery and fornication would have a greater prohibition in the spiritual realm. If you decide that you're going to keep yourself pure for your wife or for your husband, it's not hard to just take one step over and say, I'm going to keep myself pure, spiritually pure, for my Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, listen, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. You show me a church that has moved aside in its doctrine, especially on the Bible issue, and I will show you a church that either has now or they are just about two steps away from saying it's okay to live however you want to live with whoever you want to live with. They almost always, in fact, I would say they always will go hand in hand. The whole withholding power in a Christian's life to keep us in our marriages, in a right relationship with our spouses, the whole holding power that we have is in this book. That's what's keeping us. That's what's keeping us, our marriages together. When you remove this doctrinally from the pulpits, and then from the pews, you are opening. And I just have this idea that the guys behind the pulpits who are preaching this looseness As far as going away from the Bible, not sticking with the Bible, and going after all these other winds of doctrine, I think down deep in their heart, they had an agenda that in hopes that someday they will be allowed to live openly in sin and still get to be the preacher. Does that make sense to everybody? Because we've got pastors now coming out of the closet, coming out of this, coming out of that, saying, well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other. And the way I read the Bible, it's okay. You see, there was an agenda there. One, adultery, fornication, uncleanness in the physical realm will always be attached to that in the spiritual realm. Lust is a deceiver. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, I like to do this, and I believe that I have biblical precedent to do it. Any place in the Bible where you see the Spirit, I think it's okay for you to throw in the Word along with it. Because that's how Jesus defined the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So I want you to look at Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Amen. That means walk in your Bible. Amen. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Bible, the Spirit. It does. And the Spirit, or your Bible, is always going to be against your flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now I'm going to go back to that statement I just made. I believe that it is the Spirit of God through your Bible that is keeping you from destroying your marriage. You say, well, I love her and I would never hurt her. Or I love him and I would never hurt him. People have said that before too. People have loved their husbands or their wives and have messed around on them. It happens. But I believe that it's the Word of God that keeps marriages together. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Amen. The Word of God that does this. So, he said in verse 18, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What was he getting at there? What's one of the laws? Thou shalt not commit adultery. What was another one? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's maidservant. You should not covet after your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's family or some your neighbor's whatever. You should not covet after that. He said, if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. First four out of the chute: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Adultery, and they're all just tied together. There are people saying, now adultery is this, and fornication is this, and I didn't do this. I think they're just all tied together. Okay? If you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator. Okay? And the reason why you got there is you got your unclean in your mind and your lascivious in your deeds. It just kind of all works together, doesn't it? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I'm telling you, God hates witchcraft. He hates it. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunken. He puts it on with heresies. Paul said a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you, also told you in time past, that they which do things, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that statement is absolutely true the way it is. I'm telling you, your flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Because let's be honest, there are 18 things listed here in this list. I guarantee you, we can write somebody in this church's name next to some of these. So if I were to ask it, whoever now here has not ever done these things, you can go to heaven. The rest, anybody else cannot go. We would all just have to sit here and die out, eat, drink, and be married. But he said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he gives the opposite. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean real love. Not what Hollywood calls love, and not what a rock song calls love. Oh, I need your love. That's a bunch of... That's just filthiness wrapped up in a love song. Most love songs are exactly that. Very, very few do you hear a love song of a wife to her husband or a husband to his wife. Very seldom you hear that. Okay? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. Your flesh is always going to be the enemy of your spirit. Crucify that flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body, the Bible says. The Bible says, mortify them, kill them off. Okay? One of the best ways to kill it off, starve them to death. Amen. Don't feed them. Because what goes on here will always seek to be carried out in the body. Always will. Watch it. Okay? Don't feed it. Starve them out. Get rid of them. Stop hanging around people. Stop hanging around. Stop going to places. Quit going to this. Quit watching that. Quit listening to that. Quit reading that. The body says the eyes are the light of the body. Okay? Yes, we're not defiled by what goes in. But I guarantee you, what goes in will always find a way to come out. That's how we're defiled. You cannot deny these things. He said, if we live in the Spirit, watch this. Now I'm going to go back and read this again. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Bible, let us also walk in the Spirit, in the Bible. And just simple stuff. If you're in your Bible, you'll not be in anything else. Okay? But it's a war to get you out of your Bible, because there is your strength right there. I don't know if I love you. I don't know if you guys ever get tired of me saying the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Because every sermon, I just look back and I'm going, you know, I was preaching. What did you preach on this? Well, the Bible. What did you preach on? Well, the Bible. Okay. What did you preach? Isn't that what you were preaching on last? Yeah, preaching on the Bible. Listen, I don't have anything else to preach on. If I preach salvation, it's going to be centered around the Bible. If I preach on stuff like this, it's going to be centered around the Bible. Okay? That is why the Bibles have been taken out of our churches. Because it's the most dangerous thing that you've got to the devil and to your flesh. How do you mortify the deeds of your body? Read your Bible. Get in the Scriptures. Okay? Ask God to help. Proverbs 7. Take your Bible and turn there. Proverbs 7. The whole chapter is a warning. I'm just going to read through this. The gist of tonight's message is this. Keep your bed undefiled. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't personally know of any situation in this church where somebody's running around with a wife or husband. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. We've got a few people listening to us. It may be a situation that God's going to use this as a strong warning to someone listening to this. Maybe you. Maybe somebody online. That God's using this to warn them. Don't do it. Don't do it. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, look at here, keep my words. I can't get away. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Listen, your eye, did you see that eyes deal? Adultery usually starts with the eyes. Where it starts. And if you will hold your Bible as being very precious to your eyes, when you're looking around at something else, it'll just seem like that ain't nothing compared to what I've got in my hand. Keep it as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Solomon's going to tell a little story of some wisdom that he got one night. He was just sitting in the window, just kind of looking out over the city. This is what he saw. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. You know what this young man didn't have? The words. Didn't have the words. Just ask yourself the question tonight. What are the young men in our country? What are they right now? Whoremongers. Whoremongers. The young men and the young ladies in this country, I'm talking about teenagers. It has so infested and infected a generation of parents who have let their children do whatever they want to do. And so here we have a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. So you got to keep it hid. Keep it under darkness. Keep it under secrecy. Sin loves darkness and hates the light. Amen. The Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? You get the Bible out, sin don't want to hang around very long. So, verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. You think this woman had a real nice long dress down to about her mid-calves and nice blouse that was nice and loose and frilly and lacy and just made her look very nice and feminine? You think that's what she had on? No. She had the attire of an harlot. She had on clothes that were designed to draw a man or a boy's eyes to the parts of her body that God said to cover up. So you think about that. Maybe I'm just preaching. Maybe you guys don't have a problem with it. Praise the Lord. Okay? Any teenagers out there, you think about that. You put on that stuff, you have one intention in mind. When you put on a pair of shorts or sweatpants with writing across the back side of it, you are asking, no, you are demanding that somebody lay their eyes on your backside. That is the attire of an harlot. I can't, listen, people be mad at me. I got lined up to get at me. Okay? And I never wanted that. But they are. This dummy wasn't born yesterday. I've been a man now some 47 and a half years. Actually, no. I was a boy for several years of that. Okay? But I've got the brain of a man and the eyes of a man. And I'm not stupid. You can tell when a woman presents herself to where she wants to be seen as someone who is intelligent, someone who has some worth beyond the next 5 minutes. You can tell that. You can also tell a woman who wants the attention of the desires of men, and that's all she wants. It doesn't take much. I may not be able to absolutely articulate every piece of clothing that women should and should not wear, but I know it when I see it. Okay? So anyway, she had the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. By the way, this woman's married. You'll see that in a minute. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at where? Every corner. It's a trap. So she caught him, kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore, you know what I think that means? I think that means that she believes that she's done a religious service that will satisfy God, so she can now go out and do this. That's like Catholics going out and live however they want to, go to confession, get it over with, and then go out and do some more. That's what I see in this deal. I may be wrong. That's what I see in that. Okay? I have peace offerings to me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come and let us take our fill of, there it is, love. That's not love. It's not love. Until the morning, let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. My husband's gone. Hurry up before he gets back. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. You know, can I throw something in here? It just occurred to me. I think that is a reference to Christ, who's gone on a journey, and he's going to come back and find his. I may be wrong, but he has taken a bag of money with him and will come at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock. Now I'm going to say something right here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is probably one of the easiest things in the world to find some other mate online. There are people out there who will probably tell you anything that you want to hear to lure you in. You be careful who you're chit-chatting with. Guys, be careful who you're hanging with. Ladies, be careful who you're palling around with. Be careful who you're chatting with online. I don't care if it's in the church group. Be careful. Because all the devil's trying to use, he's trying to get a weakness in there where some guy is not liking how his wife's been treating him lately, and he finds some woman to listen to him, and she says, oh, you poor thing. That's all it takes. Anyway, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. The devil throws fiery darts, doesn't he? You know what you're going to need to fight this woman off? Shield of faith. Oh, that's the Bible again, isn't it? Till a dart strike to his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her. See, the decline? What is America doing in its morality? Decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Many strong men. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Many strong men have been slain by her. In fact, the strongest man that ever walked the face of the earth had one weakness. Okay? And she brought him down to where she cut off his power, and he had nothing. And the deal was, the thing that sticks out to me about Samson the most is that when they said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, he jumped up and he wist not that his strength had gone from him until it was too late. She got him. Okay? She will destroy marriages. She'll destroy this church. Okay? You just, I just tried to keep with the words of God. You take that and let God deal with you about it.
Amen.
Okay? You just take it, get in your Bible, let God help you with it. Okay? Serious stuff we're living in right now, and the devil's waiting for you right around the corner. You know how to keep him from it? Don't go around the corner. Amen? It's a straight path. Amen? It's a straight path. Don't turn and go around the corner. But stand to our feet.